First Presbyterian Church of Hollywood, good morning. Hey, have you guys noticed it's sort of cold in here this morning? So we have a system in the sanctuary, and it works well below 60 and above 85. In between, it struggles a little bit. So I'm going to ask you to do this because this just isn't going to work. It's cool in here, and I feel the coolness. You're giving sort of a new understanding of the frozen chosen. So would you do this? Would you just rub your hands together? Come on, get it moving. And then would you turn to a couple people around you? You don't even have to stand up and just say, I'm so glad you're here this morning. And if you need to shout it, do it. Shout it. Nice, nice. Good work. Good work. I feel the heat all the way up here. It's good. So it is first Sunday of Advent. It is the first Sunday of the church calendar year. It's a new year. It's the first Sunday of December. It's the first time we are dipping into the Gospel of John. It's the first time in this sermon series that we have called John's Christmas Vocabulary, and each week we will especially focus in on one vocabulary word from John 1. I am a person who loves firsts. I love beginnings. You know I like to read a lot, and so this week I started thinking about the first sentences of books, of novels in particular, because the beginning sentence is very, very important, right? It sets the whole tone of a book, and it can be an early indicator of the direction a story is going to go. It can make you sort of lean into it as a reader and make you a little bit eager to see if it was a compelling first sentence. Is the rest of the book going to be compelling like that? So I thought of a few books. You'll know these. Some of you will remember the book or the movie, A River Runs Through It. Remember that one? Norman MacLean. The opening sentence from the book, in our family, there was no clear line between religion and fly fishing. Boom. Whoa, this story is going to start exploring these connections between fishing and faith and family right from the beginning. Or take F. Scott Fitzgerald's The Great Gatsby. It begins like this, a little longer sentence. In my younger and more vulnerable years, my father gave me some advice I've been turning over in my mind ever since. Whenever you feel like criticizing anyone, he told me, just remember that all the people in this world haven't had the advantages that you have had. Whoa. That book is going to explore these themes of privilege and decadence and resistance to change. Okay, just one more. I had to do a C.S. Lewis book, one of the Narnia books, Voyage of the Dawn Treader, great beginning. Starts with, there was a boy called Eustace Clarence Scrub, and he almost deserved it. Isn't that great? You want to read from there on, right? So, but it's not just a literary technique. It's almost as though you have to understand the first line in order to understand everything else. So this morning we're going to just, at the very start, we're going to read the beginning of John's Gospel, just two verses. If you're able, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? We ask the Holy Spirit to be in this time as we read John 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The word of the Lord. Let's be seated. Maybe you haven't thought about it before, but every single one of the four Gospels is concerned with a beginning. And so the Gospel of Mark actually starts out and says the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. And then the Gospel of Matthew has an account, it says, of the origin of the beginning of Christ. And then that cosmic family tree that goes all the way back to Abraham. And then the Gospel of Luke grounds his account of Jesus as being handed down by those who were from the beginning eyewitnesses. But the Gospel of John goes way further. He, much higher, much deeper. He soars like an eagle. John goes straight to God. In the beginning was the Word. John's beginning is from beyond time. It's from before Abraham. It's from creation. It's from before creation. John taps into this echo, and his word becomes the second bookend, really, to another bookend at the very beginning of the Bible from Genesis. In the beginning, Genesis says, God created the heavens and the earth, and God spoke, God said, let there be light, and there was light. In the beginning, God created, and God said, let there be light, and let there be water, Genesis says, and let there be earth and sky and sun and moon and stars and fish and birds and animals, and there was, and God saw it was good. In the beginning, God. That's Genesis. Two of our three kids live in New York City now, and we will visit them actually this coming week. And if we make our way through the Times Square area, as we sometimes do, we know right off the top there'll be thousands and thousands of people, and there'll be all those bright lights and huge billboards for food and entertainment and stores and all of that. But the overwhelming attraction around Times Square for most people is when they realize that there are cameras putting live stream images of themselves on a wall. It is amazing. People crowd around, they ignore everything else, they crowd around that wall, they jostle each other, they walk back and forth so they can see themselves over and over. It is fascinating. The Bible does not start with, this is the story of human beings. It doesn't start with, in the beginning, people searched for meaning. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God spoke. 1968 was an extremely trying year in the United States. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. Robert Kennedy was assassinated. The U.S. was mired in a costly and controversial war in Vietnam. There was militant student activism on campuses. There were race riots and protests. But on Christmas Eve, December 24th, so this is almost 50 years ago, most of America was tuned into a television broadcast from the Apollo 8 spacecraft. It was the first time that a manned spacecraft had orbited the moon, and at the time, it was the most watched TV broadcast of all time. And on that Christmas Eve, the astronauts, Bill Anders, Jim Lovell, and Frank Borman, enjoyed this ethereal view of looking back at the Earth from outer space. And as they did that, they read over live television these words, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, let there be light. And they went on and read all of the first 10 verses of Genesis 1. I'm pretty sure that wouldn't happen today. Genesis, in the beginning, God spoke. John, in the beginning was the Word. John is tackling the theology of thousands of commentaries and tens of thousands of books and countless classes and creedal statements throughout history in this one beginning sentence because it's so important. It is the beginning. And I wanted us to start Advent here at the beginning. Not with Christmas sweaters and eggnog lattes, Not lights and packages, not Santa and elves, not even the manger in Bethlehem. But before all of that, before everything, in the beginning was the Word. In six words in English, this gospel writer pulls together two entirely separate worlds, both of which were present and influential in Jesus' day, the Greek world and the Jewish world. The Greek world, the Hellenized world of Alexander the Great that had so permeated the Middle East and the impact lasted long after, contributed this one sense of this Word that we've read. The Word in Greek philosophy, logos, was the supreme principle of reason or order in the universe. It was the force that kept the world from sort of collapsing into chaos. And that logos had a variety of uses, a thought or reason or speech or wisdom or maybe even message. That was the Greek world. But the Jewish world really was more influential. This word, debir in Hebrew, that appears throughout the Old Testament. And that word pictures God's action. So when God speaks, when God words, things happen. Genesis 1, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Or Psalm 33, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made." Or even in Isaiah 55, when God says, "My word goes out and will not return to me empty." The word has effect. It is an action. And the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now the word is not going to actually be named until way down in verse 17, and we're weeks away from that, but that the name of Jesus Christ will appear there, and all roads before lead to exactly that. The universe, the creation, did not happen without the Word. The Word was with God. It had relationship with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. The Word of God was the agent in the original creation in Genesis and the agent of the recreation, the new creation in John, in the beginning in both places. Now stick with me. So the Word of God is both distinguished from God, but shares nature and being with God. And the Word was God. The gospel writer is pushing against all of the limits. He's straining at the limits of language and understanding. This is like an intense mystery. And if your mind is not spinning a little bit this morning already, then you're not listening or I'm not explaining at all. On the one hand, the Word is different than God. The Word is God's means of communication, the expression of what is in God's mind. Always was. God speaks. Things happen. And on the other hand, the Word is the same as God. The Word is part of God. It's the message of God. What God had to say to us as people was not just what Jesus said, and it wasn't just what Jesus did, but it's who Jesus was, the Word. St. Thomas Aquinas was a theologian and church father in the 13th century, one of history's most profound thinkers, and I actually love that he lived in the 1200s, because sometimes I think we're pretty arrogant and think that somehow we are gradually becoming more and more intelligent with time, and so if we live in a modern or postmodern world, we are really brilliant. Even in the church, I think we can sort of think this. We think people just started getting smart somewhere around the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century. But here's Aquinas in the 1200s looking at this exact text from John and breaking it down to these four questions. When, where, what, and how is a very short version. When was the Word, he says? In the beginning. Where was the Word? With God. What was the Word? God. How was he existing? In the beginning with God. John is wasting no time at all in two sentences, this opening, this beginning. And the truth is, friends, that if we can get our minds around this, we can understand the whole rest of the gospel so much better. If we can get our minds around the Word was with God and the Word was God, then the nativity story is going to come into focus. If we can get this, then Jesus turning water into wine is going to be more understandable. If we can get this, then Jesus reading the scroll in the temple and taking on his ministry gets clarified. If we can get this, then the perceived heresy of Jesus saying, before Abraham was, I am, and taking on the divine name of God, that gets even more astounding. If we can get this, then the raising of Lazarus by Jesus begins to make sense. If we can get this, then Jesus' death on a cross will have implications for every single human being in history, past, present, and future, and we can grasp that. And if we can get this, then God raising Jesus up from the dead and changing the course of human eternity, it makes sense. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. A few times I have mentioned an ancient belief from Celtic Christian times, this idea of thin places. The Celts believed that somehow, geographically and spiritually, heaven was exactly 3 feet above the earth. Exactly. But now and then, they thought, the distance between the two, between heaven and earth, shrunk and it came very near. And I like that thought because sometimes I think we experience these thin places, these holy times, maybe in a baptism, maybe when we come to the Lord's table together, but maybe in the love of a child, maybe in the realization of a true friendship. Sometimes we just sense that heaven and earth are almost overlapped and we're almost getting a taste of the way things were meant to be and one day will be. And yet what John is describing, is starting to describe here, is not just a thin place of overlap. It is a breaking through. Something from outside of time and space is entering into our time and space and history. The Word came into being, into life. Light exploded into darkness. Heaven breaking in Christ. And if we understand this beginning, then we'll understand that there are many more beginnings that we experience in our lives. There's a beginning, for instance, to our faith. Now, we reach a point in life, hopefully many times along the way, where we turn to Jesus, right? Where we understand enough, where we invite him in. We accept the gift of grace. Maybe that happens as an adult. Maybe it happens as a youth or a child, but it's a beginning. And often that beginning connects with what came before. This is particularly the case, I think, with our children. We raise our children in the faith. And actually, this is a good place to say a word about our church. You know, I spend a lot of time talking about our church being a multi-generational church, and it's one of the things I absolutely love about our community. But being multi-generational doesn't just mean existing on the same campus at the same time. So we look for ways to integrate, and one of the key places to do that is right here in worship. We want our kids to be comfortable in worship, to grow up with singing and praying as part of their DNA, that it's just a natural thing to respond and to sing and to praise God. And much of that learning is not just having information dumped on kids, it's from our kids being with us, being with adults who are actually praying and singing and worshiping and taking the Lord's Supper and modeling what it looks like to worship and walk with Jesus. At our session meeting this week, when our leaders met, Joel asked us to recall a time when we could remember that music had really touched us in a significant way, and that there were a lot of good stories that came from around the room. But the one that really struck me was the person who said that before she could even read, before she was old enough to even read, she would be in church with her dad in worship. And as they sang out of the hymnal, because she couldn't read, her dad would whisper the words of the next verse to her so that she was able to sing along. That is a beautiful thing. We want our children, our young people in worship. They are at the beginning of their faith stories. And yes, there are some costs involved. It might be a little noisier in the sanctuary sometimes. It might mean that somebody didn't get their child who was having a hard day out to the narthex in quite a fast enough time to suit you. It means we will try to incorporate kids in different ways, from gathering up here to sometimes reading scripture and doing other things. As Courtney mentioned a little bit, starting today, we're going to have more kids with us in worship at the communion time in particular, where they can come forward and either receive a blessing when they cross their hands, or if they have been taught, they can actually receive the Lord's Supper. In the beginning, this is the beginning of their faith. In the beginning was the Word, and we want our kids to taste it before they can even comprehend it. There's a beginning to other parts in life. Last night there was a wedding downtown. Blake Russell and Jessica Hargrove. Blake grew up here at Hollywood Prez. He's one of the leads in our band. He's the one that stands a head taller than everybody else, so you'll know who he is. And Jessica sometimes sings as well. It was a great wedding. Really, really fun. And the beginning of new life for them. Two individuals somehow becoming one, not losing the uniqueness of who they are and who God made them to be, but also this new creation emerging. And them standing there making vows in the center of an excited community and marking this beginning and anchoring really a lifetime of unknown stretching out in front of them, but doing it because of their hope in God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The gospel writer John is putting the first thing first. Jesus Christ is the Word with God, God. And we find our beginning in Him. Okay, now here's the beautiful thing about life with Christ. There is a new beginning for you and you and you and me right now and in the next moment and next week and next year. Whoever you are, new creation, new beginning. Whatever you have done or not done, forgiveness and new life. If you're 8 years old, if you're 80 years old, God has things for you. New beginning, the beginning of deeper faith. Maybe the beginning of relationship with another person. You might be a person who has lived their whole life in sort of a self-protection mode, but now, new beginning. You might be somebody who has usually just sort of criticized and responded to life out of fear, but now, God has this beginning. There's something beginning at every moment, and sometimes I just wonder, are we really watching? Are we really ready? Do we wake up in the morning and anticipate? Do we stop even for a second and say, Lord, what are you going to do today? Like it's the beginning of a whole new day. It might be the beginning of a whole new relationship, a friendship. It might be the beginning of a whole new season in my life. Lord, what are you going to do today? There might be somebody waiting around the corner for you to meet that you never would have guessed. There might be the opportunity today, new beginning. There might be the opportunity for the repair of a relationship that you never thought possible. There might be just moments from now or hours from now, somebody who especially and desperately needs you to tell them that they are loved by God and to live that out in front of them. God is doing a new thing all the time. There are people everywhere who need to know about new beginning. There's an opportunity that we have, friends, if we pay attention at every moment in our lives, to live lives that stand out with goodness and with gentleness and with self-control. And this life, this new beginning, this new creation comes to us not because we make it happen. It's not in the beginning human beings were really something. First, it's Genesis. In the beginning, God created and God spoke. And then, and it took the gospel writer John at least 3 years to figure out really who Jesus was, and way more time than that to articulate it. But then he hands it to us in this first sentence. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let us pray. God of heaven and earth, would you forgive us, Lord, when we think you're small, when we limit you, when we don't even begin to comprehend the depth and width and height of your love. Would you forgive us for that, Lord? Because when we don't understand, it seems that it makes us live lives that are small and narrow and nothing like you created us to be. So, Lord, in this moment of quiet, we would just individually, silently confess to you our brokenness, our sin, and where we might be limiting you. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you that we don't have to wonder about whether we are forgiven people because you have said yes, and we celebrate that here today. Amen.